Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Thank you, Pastor Carter, and thank you for being here to wait on the Lord and to pray tonight. We've been on holy ground all day, and it was an awesome experience just to intercede as a church to, as in Acts 4, they lifted their voices together and prayed, O Sovereign Lord. And to see that happening in us, to feel the hunger of your hearts, to just sense the presence of God as we waited on the Lord. Thank you for the numbers of you who prayed, leading us in prayer at the mics, and all of you for praying and just waiting on the Lord. This is what changes history. This is what we need. This is what we're hungry for. I would just like to speak on being devoted to prayer for a few minutes tonight. And I do mean just for a few minutes. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, if you will go with me to that, and I believe this scripture, this verse will be on the screen. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul writes to this church, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer. First of all, I'm always struck by how strong a verb that is, the word devote. He doesn't say, think about praying once in a while, or would you please just sort of fit prayer a little more into your church life? He doesn't say, you know, if you feel led, you know, pray. He just said, devote yourself. I don't know what you feel like you're devoted to on a regular basis in your lifestyle. But Paul said, be devoted to praying. And then if prayer was a coin, it would have two sides, watchfulness and thankfulness. He said, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. We see thankfulness often associated with prayer in the scriptures, because we pray with faith, not with despair. We pray constantly reminding ourselves, constantly affirming that the Lord is able, He is mighty, He is good. I'm so grateful for His presence. I'm so grateful we're not doing this alone. I'm so grateful that He walks with us and talks with us. I'm so grateful He took my sin away. I'm so grateful He's still changing my heart and He's still revealing Himself to me and to us. I'm so grateful that He's good and kind and abundant and gracious, that He inclines His ear to us. I'm so grateful He sent Jesus to open up the doorway to heaven for us. I'm so grateful for all of these things. And we constantly are just thanking God as we pray. Lord, thank you that you're able. Thank you that you're good. Thank you for what we are in Christ and what you're doing. And thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we also pray with watchfulness. Thankfulness is one side of the coin of prayer. Watchfulness is the other, because the times are dangerous spiritually that we're living in. Have you ever had somebody say, after you told them you were going to go into a certain conversation or take on a certain assignment at work, have you ever had someone say to you, okay, well, good luck, and just keep your eyes open? And they're not saying keep your physical eyes open. They're saying you better keep your eyes open, because you're going to be filled with, or surrounded with all kinds of people with all kinds of agendas. And don't let anybody, you know, take you by surprise here. We're living in spiritually dangerous times, and we need to keep our eyes open. You know, in Paul's time in the first century, even though today Christians in America and in our culture are increasingly stereotyped and mocked, we're generally viewed in our culture as being bigoted and hateful and stupid. But it's not even what the first century church had to deal with. In the first century, in Paul's time, when he says be watchful, it was because the culture, here is just a short list of how the culture viewed the early church in the first century. They viewed them as being disloyal to Caesar. You can imagine the trouble that could get into. They accused them of being disruptive to local economies. That's because Jesus was delivering people from demonic power, and they stopped worshiping idols, which made the idol workers and the divinators go out of business. So the church was accused of being disloyal to the political authorities. They were accused of disrupting local economies. They were accused of teaching that slaves were free. You can imagine how that went over with some people. They were accused of not participating in pagan cultural festivals because they hated humanity. That's why they didn't participate in pagan festivals. They were accused of being atheists because their God seemed to be invisible. Nobody could see their God. Their God was not an idol. So Christians were even sent to their deaths with the people in the stands shouting, "Away with the atheists." And if I'm going to die for Jesus, I at least don't want them thinking I'm an atheist. And they were also accused of having sexual orgies because they had these secret meetings and they had what they call love feasts. And they met together and they broke bread and they honored the sacrifice of Christ. But, of course, from the outside, they accused them of being perverted and sexually immoral. I mean, when Paul says, in the world we're living, be devoted to prayer. Be thankful because the Lord is our victor, but be watchful because these are dangerous days. I worry that our apathy in part is because we get lulled to sleep and we don't realize how dangerous spiritually the days we're living in. That's where America is headed. We're not what I just described in the first century, but I don't think it's going to get easier for the Christian community. We've got to pray, as Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. When I drive and pray, I like to pray when I drive sometimes, and I do watch literally and pray. I don't close my eyes. But he's saying with our hearts, keep your eyes wide open. I don't care if you close your eyes when you pray, but have your eyes wide open. There are spiritual dangers everywhere. We cannot be prayerless and survive. We must be devoted to prayer. With watchfulness, and thank God to keep our faith strong with thankfulness. Watchfulness and thankfulness. And then in verse 12, the other verse I want to look at, in that same chapter, Colossians chapter 4, he talks about Epaphras. He said, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends his greetings. Epaphras happens to be with Paul in Rome, and Paul's in prison in Rome right now. But Epaphras is one of them. He's from Colossae. Colossae is not a place where Paul ever visited. He didn't personally plant this church, but Colossae was about 100 miles east of Ephesus. And we're told in Acts that chapter 19 that for over 2 years, Paul had a powerful ministry in the Holy Spirit out of Ephesus. And all of that area, what they called Asia Minor, including the area where Colossae was, heard the gospel. And it's likely that Epaphras had been saved under Paul's ministry in Ephesus as the power of God was poured out there in that incredible revival that took place in that major city of Ephesus. And it was Epaphras who probably went back to Colossae and shared the encounter he had with Jesus and started the Colossian church. Now Epaphras is with Paul in Rome, and Epaphras is going to hand deliver this letter that we call the book of Colossians in the New Testament to the church at Colossae. That's why Paul says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greeting. And then this amazing statement about Epaphras. He is always wrestling in prayer for you so that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. He is always wrestling in prayer for you so that you may stand firm in all God's will. There is a direct correspondence between Epaphras' wrestling in prayer for that church that he may have started himself, and then he still carried on his heart, even though he's in a whole other part of the world right now in Rome. But he is wrestling in prayer so that they could stand fully established, mature, and fully assured in the will of God. And I love that image because it's a masculine image, pardon me, ladies, but There's a myth out there that ladies are, well, it's not a myth, ladies are really good at praying. You're intuitive in ways sometimes we guys aren't. And many of our churches are surviving today because of the women who pray in that church. But I love that he's not a she. He's a he, and he uses a very masculine image. He is wrestling in prayer for you. When I was in high school, I joined the wrestling team. The coach really convinced me to join because I was short and skinny, and I was the only lightweight they had. I was under 100 pounds. And so they needed somebody for their lightweight category. And it wasn't really me wrestling, but I did it for a while. And boy, you just fight somebody down until you pin them to the mat. And you strain against them, and you try to outmaneuver them with your body until finally you pin their shoulders to the mat for, 3 seconds? And you just pin them. And it's a lot of exertion, and you train a lot to do this. It's an incredible image. And Paul is saying, Epaphras, your friend, one of you, from your church, he's with me here. He's going to take this letter back, but I want to tell you, I've been watching him. We spend a lot of time together. He visits me a lot here in prison. And I watch him, and he just doesn't like have you casually as number 15 on his prayer list that he mentions briefly every day. But he says he wrestles in the Spirit for you until the enemy is being pinned to the mat. So that the enemy is pinned to the ground so that you can stand in the full will of God, mature and fully established. There is something of a direct connection between wrestling in the Spirit and the capacity of the living church of Jesus Christ around us to thrive and to stand and to be all that God wills us to be for the sake of lost nations, for the sake of lost people, for the sake of God's grace and mission in the world and his glory. Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you so that you may stand firm in all the will of God, so you will stand in all that is God's will for you. The enemy's been pinned as an intercessor wrestles in prayer. He's pinned to the ground, but you're standing up in the full will of God. Mature and confident. Thank God. Once in a while, I'll meet a person, especially as secularized as America has become, or for sure when I travel overseas, as I will later this week. I'll look at people and I'm pretty sure that they've never had anybody pray for them in their lives. And I thank God I'm here because people wrestled in prayer for me. I'm here because of a mom who prayed every day, and she's 91 years old and she's still praying for me every day. She told me that the other day. I'm so grateful for people who wrestle in prayer and pin the demons to the mat by faith through the authority of Jesus, who defeated the enemy at the cross, so that by God's grace there's a way for me to stand, to whatever degree I'm able to yet, to stand in the will of God, living out the will of God for my life. And I want to tell you, it makes a difference. You hear me say it all the time on Sunday nights. We're never wasting our time when we're praying. We're pinning demons to the mat. We're wrestling down hell. And we're helping people stand firm in all the will of God. In all the will of God. So I'd like you to stand with me.